This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
God has a place for us, and that place, I want you to think about who we are more than where we are in this place. Can you do that? Just try to. It's not a play on words. It's not tricky. But it's who and it's who we are rather than where we are, this place. And winning or quitting is more about who we are than where we are. And that's, I mean, we're thinking our circumstances. We're thinking the atmosphere is what causes us to win or causes us to quit. And that has nothing to do with it. You have to understand, the Bible promises you this, and this is a big deal. The Bible promises that everywhere our foot lands, that we have the capability as children of God to possess that land. So everywhere our foot is, we can possess it, okay? But we have to understand who we are for that to be active in our lives. So winning or quitting is more about who we are than where we are, okay? Does that make sense? Write that down, all right? Who we are rather than where we are. I mean, how many times in the New Testament are the two words "in Christ" written in the New Testament? How many times? A lot, okay? Because that's who we are now. It's not so much where we are, it's who we are. And that's why Paul said, look, whether I abase or abound, I've learned to be content. Why? Because of who I am, not where I am, all right? How many of you guys brought your Bibles? Anybody bring your Bibles? Well, good. Get your Bibles open and let's open them up to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And the preface of this is just Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as of unto the Lord and not to men. Man, when you're given that best gift, man, you're not given to men. You're given heartily as of unto the Lord. Man, when you serve, how many of you guys are greeters? How many of you guys serve in our kids or kids? Did you guys hear how many kids under 5 years old were at the 11 o'clock service Easter Sunday mornings? Anybody hear how many that was? 287? 287 kids. That's like in the top 90th percentile of churches in the country where our kids five and under at church Easter Sunday morning. So you know what? Man, the people that served in there, man, the people, it's heartily as of unto the Lord. Man, see, that's why, like Mother's Day, you might be here and you say, well, you know, my mother's gone to be with the Lord, or my mother lives in Milwaukee, or my mother left us. That doesn't have to factor in. What factors in is we're gonna honor mothers here. And why? Not because your mom deserves it, but because you're honorable. And see, if we could turn the tables on this and we could present ourselves as honorable people, man, I'm telling you, that's a game changer in life. So 2 Timothy, the second chapter, the 14th verse, tell me when you're there. Remind them of these things. So listen, this may or may not be new for you. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, charging them. Okay, that's strong language. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. Man, I think most marriages are filled with words that the discussions, the heated conversations, the arguments, man, a lot of times there's no profit in it. You know, what's the point? I mean, really, there's no gain in it. It's just me trying to prove that I'm right, me trying to prove that I can argue my side or my case. And to the ruin of the hearers, and that's a big deal. A lot of marriages, a lot of relationships are ruined because the conversations are conversations that aren't leading any profit. But you know what? Man, we're gonna be passionate about it. Man, we're gonna draw arms about it. But it doesn't make any sense. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. Remember, heartily as of unto the Lord, not unto men. So be diligent to be approved of God. A worker doesn't need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Underline that or highlight that. Write that down in your notes. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now let me just tell you. Remember, the Bible is the only book that's ever been authored that the author of the book is present when you read it. Every time you read it, All of us. Man, we're all reading it right now. And you know what? The author's present. So now, in order for us to rightly divide the word of truth in a deceptive world, man, we have to have the Spirit of God with us. Man, we have to recognize that God's with us. And man, so as I'm reading the word, man, it's like this. Most of the times that I read the word, I go to God and say, God, I thank you that by your Spirit I rightly divide the word of truth. Man, that there's a discernment that operates in me, God, to be able to apply your truth in my life. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they'll increase to more ungodliness. Everybody say shun. Say it again. Think about what shun means. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they increase to more godliness. I'll tell you what's interesting about this. Here's a case in point. The owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. It's on the news. If you have a computer, if you have a radio, if you have a television, you know what happened. Okay? And man, a huge uproar. Everybody, I mean, it consumed the media this week. And you know what it boils down to? It boils down to profane and idle babblings. See, we're looking at it. It wasn't criminal. It wasn't illegal. We can argue that it was immoral, but you know what the biggest thing for me was? It was insensitive. And now I think, now wait a second. So I'm not pointing at that 80-year-old guy, billionaire. I'm looking at my own life. I'm thinking about the body of Christ. I'm thinking about the church for generations. That when we know the truth and we're going to proclaim the truth and we don't care what you think about it, but that might very well be insensitive. And you know what we're doing? Instead of shunning babblings and idle talk, we're shunning people. And I'm just telling you, because I think I probably have a propensity to be insensitive. I really do. You know, I mean, my gosh. I mean, because I really preach, and I want to say that it doesn't matter to me what you think, but it needs to. I need to know where you are. I need to know what you're going through. I need to have a heart for people to be able to communicate this gospel, because it's life-changing. Man, but I think the insensitivity that we have sometimes, we have to recognize it. Man, there's no way that I can understand what you're going through. Man, it's just pride. It's just arrogance for me to think that I do. So you know what, man? I've got to talk about with meekness and with gentleness that we deliver the word. Okay, and their message will spread like cancer. Man, that's what happened with that owner, isn't it? Man, it's like cancer that's gone through our community. Man, people, there's so much unrest. There's so much, and then he names two men that are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Man, think about these. Think about shun. Think about depart. And then think about your own life. When's the last time you really shunned idle babblings? When's the last time you truly departed from iniquity in your life? You might think, well, yeah, I'm here. I'm just not party to it. Man, there's people, there's fine lines with this. That's why the Spirit of God is vital to us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, being full of God's word is vital to us for us to be able to navigate this perverse world. I'm just telling you, and I'll tell you why, because the lines are so fine to our natural eyes. And see, we've got to look at this, and we've got to understand that who we're around matters. Do you know that? Man, there's people that we care about. There's people that we love that are not living for God. Are those people that, man, you've got to be careful. You've got to guard your heart when you're around them, even if they're family, even if they're friends. And you know what Jesus said? You got to love them less than you do me. And see, we look at this and we think, yeah, but man, I don't want to turn my back on them. I haven't turned my back on any of the guys. But let me tell you, there's guys I can't hang with. Man, there's guys I can't be part of. The Bible says this. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. And see, we've got this relational evangelism sometimes that we think, wait a second, how we live our lives, that doesn't mean we can hang with them because all they're gonna do is pull us to where they are. Man, you think about the leverage that people have spiritually. People that are in a hole spiritually, man, you reach down and you wanna pull them up. What if they're pulling you down at the same time? Who has the leverage then? And see, we've gotta look at this and we've gotta understand it. That's what these services are about. What we want to do is fill the room with godly people. And everybody in here, I look at everybody in here, I speak to everybody in here as your godly people. That's why at the end of the service, how many guys have ever been here during the end of a service when there's an altar call or there's a call to personal ministry in people's lives? Anybody in here? What are the phrases that are said? And it's not just, hey, do you want to get saved? That's not the part of the vernacular. What's the vernacular? The vernacular is, do you want a fresh start? And let me just help you. That's probably 99% of the people in here tonight. I want a fresh start. You want a fresh start? You want a fresh start? Eric, you want a fresh start? I'll take a fresh start tonight. Why? Because, see, it's not godly and ungodly. If you're here, I'm telling you, God's not looking, and so I'm not either. It's your past. You know what you're doing now? You're honoring God. You know why? You're sitting here paying attention, listening to God's word. So right now you don't want to be on Facebook. You don't want to be playing your video game on your phone. You want to be honoring God's word. You want to just pay attention. I'll tell you, that's probably one of the strongest forms of worship that you can have in your life is just paying attention to and focusing on the preaching of God's word. The dynamics of the preaching of God's word. Man, what did Paul say? Man, preach the word in season and out of season. Preach the word. Why? Because there's a dynamic that happens. See, the written word is the logos. The preached word is the rhema. And we preach it. Why? Because we're living it. Why? Because we recognize the power that it has. Do you see that? Man, just the paying attention where you make yourself. How many of you guys had a long day? How many guys had a long weekend? How many guys drove for hours and hours over the weekend and then went through emotional stuff where your kid got married and you go through all this? How many of you guys said her mother and I do? No, let me tell you, I don't know what kind of reserve of energy a man has to have to utter those words, but it's got to be a little bit draining. I don't know, Steve. I've never done it, And I'm preparing myself right now. I'm at the gym. I'm working out. Man, I'm eating right, and I'm on my face crying out to God. Why? Because I've got to muster up the energy to say something like that. I'm not even going to say it like I'm saying it right now. I can't imagine. But see, the point is that we're here, and it's been a long day. But what do we have to do? We've got to focus. You got to make yourself. You got to put your flesh under. It's not a time to doze off. It's not a time to daydream. It's not a time. Man, no, this is a time for you to focus on and let God speak to your life. Are you guys with me on that? Scott, you guys with me on that? Come on, you gotta get with me. Here we go. Where'd I stop here? Nevertheless, a solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, shun, depart. Man, strong words. Verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Some vessels are for waste. Some vessels are to eat out of. Some vessels are to show. Some vessels, okay, now listen. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter as a vessel of dishonor, full disclosure, I was a vessel of dishonor for a long time in my life. What had to happen? Man, the blood of Jesus. I was immersed in the baptism of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. What did that do? It cleansed me. What came out of that baptism in Jesus? What came out of it is a vessel of honor. Not anything I did. Not I didn't earn that, but it's because of what Jesus did. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor. Now listen, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Let's break that down just for a minute. Little pause here, okay? Sanctified and useful. How many of you guys want to be useful for the master? Let me see your hands. Wave to me. Give me a wave. You want to be useful. You know what you got to be sanctified. You know what sanctified is? Sanctified isn't some some deep religious theological term. It's simply set apart. In your Bible, just put, right, set apart above sanctified there. You have to be set apart. What does that mean? Man, that you're not named with people that are hellraisers, the rebel rousers, like carousers. Man, you're not there. What are you doing? You're shunning. Man, you want to be a vessel of honor. Man, that's all this life is. That's all our responsibility is that we submit ourselves to honoring God. And then it says, prepared for every good work, useful for the master. Flee also youthful lusts. Man, flee. The Bible says flee fornication. Man, I'm telling you, if you're a good runner, I don't think you're gonna fornicate. I think it's hard to run and fornicate at the same time. I think it really is. I think you gotta flee youthful lusts. You gotta run from it. Man, you gotta get away from it. You gotta distance yourself from it. And you know what? I believe the only way to do that is you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I think if you're alone and you're isolated, I'm just telling you, there's a shelf life to that. Man, you're gonna be able to be strong, but you know what? Two are always better than one. Man, people that are in your life. And it doesn't have to be a mentor or a coach or it's just gotta be somebody in your life that knows you. Somebody in your life that man, you're going through any given day. Man, there's people in my life said, man, how are you doing? You know why? Because they know I'm going through, they know I'm dealing with something, they know I'm going through something. You know what? Just them asking. You know what it does? Bring strength to me. Man, you just add one person. You just add Sandy to the mix in my life. I can handle it. And I'm not just, listen, those aren't just idle words. These are coming from my heart, and I live by this. Flee also, and then it says, but pursue righteousness. Now listen, pursue right standing. Pursue the life of his promise. Faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. See the with part? Let me just help you. You make me better. You make me stronger. I'm just telling you, one can put 1,000 to flight, two 10,000. Two are better than one. Where two agree is touching anything, it'll be done. But see, what do I have to do? What being with you, what does that help me do? It helps me flee youthful lusts. What does it help me do? It helps me pursue righteousness. Man, it helps me pursue love. It helps me pursue faith. It helps me pursue. Do you understand that word pursue? You got to go after it. Man, you got to take an angle on it. Man, you gotta identify it, and I'm telling you, capture it. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Strife, it's every evil work. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. A servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, okay? But listen, but gentle to all. I don't get to pick and choose who I'm gentle with. I just have to be a gentleman. I just have to be a gentleman. I just have to be gentle to all. Now listen, able to teach, patient, in humility. Do you guys, you see where this is going? Man, I've got to take whatever pride, whatever ego, any semblance of arrogance, anything in my life that, man, I've been doing this next month for 35 years. I'm pretty good at it. But you know what? What I've got to do is I've got to go back and I've got to say, okay, wait a second, gentle. I've just got to teach. How long do I have to tell you this? This is like babysitting. No, it's like parenting. It's not babysitting, it's parenting. You don't get to pick your kids. God throws them in your life. And it's gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Man, there's some people that shun it. Some people that see the bottom line, people that come in here that are in error, that need to be corrected, I can't force that correction on them. I would love to be able to. I think I'm good enough to do that. But you know what? They've got to submit to that repentance to the Lord. It's up to them. It's the who. It's not the what. It's not the where. It's the who. Man, if in your life right now, man, you can't blame for the situation that you're in right now. Please hear this. This is a freebie, okay? This isn't in the notes. The situation you're in right now, take responsibility for it. Own it and correct it. Man, there's a repentance that we can have that, you know what, God, I'm telling you what happens in the life of God when his children repent. Oh my gosh, and deny themselves, they pick up that cross and follow Jesus, they deny their flesh, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Man, it's just, you know, you think about it, what is that, 8 or 10 verses, and it's just so powerful. You think about just shun. There are action steps that if we just look at this, here's what you stiff arm, here's what you go after. Here's what you grab a hold of, here's what you throw out. Then here's what you run after. Man, just look at that. Go back through these scriptures. Don't let this be something that you hear and forget. This is something that makes your life better. In John 14, the first four verses, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe my, I'm his word, believe me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And now listen to this, I go to prepare a place for you." See, we're thinking that's a natural place. And it's not, it's a seat of honor. It's a place for us to be seated in heavenly places with Christ. Now listen, more the who than the where, this place. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And you know what they said? Well, Jesus, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. See, so now you look at it. Now, let me just tell you something. This is real simple. This is so elementary. I'm telling you, God's word shows you the way because it is the way. See, you can't say, I don't get it, I don't understand it, if you're not trying. See, there's so many people that'll say, yeah, I just don't know, I just don't get it. No, it isn't about knowing, it isn't about getting it, it's about wanting to. So you know what you might have to do? You might have to shun youthful lust. You know what you might have to do? You might have to throw out filthiness that's in your life. How many guys, don't raise your hands, but how many guys have with an arm's distance of you some filthiness? Don't raise your hands. I don't wanna know. I got enough on my plate right now as it is. That was funny. You rats. No, you know what? Man, there's the simple things, and you know what? God takes care of the rest. But you know, those kind of things, man, we'll just sit and complain about, man, the weeds growing in our life. No, you know what? We're feeding those weeds. We're nourishing those weeds. We're keeping those weeds hydrated and complaining about them. No, you know what? It's time for us to weed our lives. And you know what? Then God becomes the husbandman, the gardener. Man, and he takes care of it, and the fruit you produce is exponential. The place that God gives us, okay, a few points that you can write down. The place that God gives us, that place is people with a heart to serve God. People with a heart to serve God. Remember the man of God in the Old Testament that he said, oh my gosh, we're so outnumbered, and the Spirit of God came on him and said, hey, there's more with us than there are with him. More with us than there are with them. Man, God's gonna give you, put you with people. The place that God has for you is people with a heart to serve God, a people pursuing God. And let me just help you. This is the most tremendous asset that you can have subject to gravity. It's just people in your life, on your speed dial, your favorites list, that have a heart to pursue and serve God. The place God gives us is a place, now listen, with forward thinking. We're not looking back. We're not looking at our past. We're looking ahead. We're forward thinkers. We're new ground takers. Man, chasing new business in life. And God's got so much for us. And that's who we have to be. We have to be great at forgetting with what's behind us. And then you know what? Pursuing what's in front of us. Man, that's the role that God's given us. Any man who grabs a plow, doesn't turn to the left or right, doesn't look back. Man, you look to the left or right, you're not worthy of God's way of doing things. But man, you keep things forward. You're not looking at your past. You're not looking. And you know what? Man, I understand you've had tragedies in your life. Man, tragic things. And you know, you want to help me? You want me to help you where you could say, I don't know if I can get over this. How do I get over it? Man, you look forward. How do you look forward? You think forward. Don't think back. Man, reminiscing. Well, I'm just telling you, it's a slippery slope. The place God gives us is where I'm challenged to live better. Do you guys understand that? Matt and Joanna challenged me to live better. Sandy, don't you agree? You challenge me to live better. Don't you agree? Brooklyn challenges me. Steve, you challenge me to live better. Man, what I love in life is people that count on me to live better. I love that. Counting on me to hear from God. How many of you guys count on me to hear from God? That I better be hearing from God. You kind of, man, I thrive in that. But you know what? Man, that's a challenge, man. The place that God gives you is a place that, man, you're gonna be challenged. Challenged to live better. And see, let me just help you. And I wanna tell you that that's at the heart of this church. There are other churches that aren't gonna challenge you. They're really, and they are what they are, and I celebrate them. I love them. Man, they're preaching the gospel. I'm great with it. But you know what? This church is gonna challenge you to live better. I'm challenged to live better by being here. And you know what? There's people that don't want that kind of thing in their life. And you know what? It's not pressure to me. That's not a pressure. No, you know what? It's inspiring for me. Man, it's life-giving to me. The place God gives us has an affirming atmosphere. And that's huge. It's interesting because the Lord has really been laying that on my heart. It really has. That's something that I think I naturally have an affinity toward this, but not I wouldn't be in the top third of humanity in it probably, but I have some, is just at words of affirmation. And this church, this place, the place that God has for you is a place that's gonna affirm you, because that's what God's doing. And if it's godly people that are serving God and pursuing God, they're gonna be speaking for God, and it's gonna be affirming to you. If that makes sense. I mean, it's gonna be a place of affirmation, a place that affirms you. You know what? You're part of the family. Man, I think about the Coders. It's like, man, I want to affirm Steve. Steve has affirmed me that it's family. Steve's dad, Jim Coder, man, he's affirmed me. It's like it's family now. You know, he's hugged me before at the golf course or in town or at somebody's house, but he hugged me after the wedding and it was like, oh my gosh, it's like a family hug. But there's that affirmation, you know, and that's vital for godly family, is affirmation. But it's an affirming atmosphere. The place God gives us, there's genuine excitement. I'm genuinely excited about what God's doing here. I don't have to ramp it up. I don't have to import some excitement for Wednesday nights, for Sunday mornings, for Sunday nights. I'm excited about the second mile. I'm excited about our kids' ministry. I'm excited about what Sean and Megan are doing over there. I'm excited about that. Do you understand that just to help you, we had an Easter egg hunt a week and a half ago. Planned on 600 kids and 1,800 showed up. That's exciting. But you know what? It also was a wake-up call in this church. There was also a wake-up call. I'm thinking about Mother's Day and Friday groceries at Joyce Meyer and the motorcycle rally. And then And then we go from there. We've got a summer full of youth camps. And then we go from there. We've got, man, the Guts Girls brunch. And then we go there to back to school. And then we go from there to Hitman. And then we go from there to the Nightmare. And it's like, oh my gosh, there's always something going on. It's like, I know it's exciting. Could you imagine if this was Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday? My gosh, you'd have saddle sores. You guys would have bed sores. You'd be here going, hey, can somebody roll me over? I need some ointment, okay? But the place God gives us, there's genuine. When we get out of bed excited to serve God, will you get there with me? The place that God has for you, man, get excited. Man, some of you guys have suffered offense. I've heard people say, well, it's just hard to serve at the church. It's hard to be involved at the church. No, it's not. The church is easy. It's the people that are hard. Get it straight. The church is simple. We have air conditioning. I know the church isn't the building. Get over yourself, you religious little. No, the point is that we got to get past all that stuff. Why? God has a place for us. It flows with milk and honey. The fruit is enormous. You know what? There's giants. Wow. You know what's going to happen? They're going to start fighting each other. This is awesome. I've experienced that in my life. Do you understand that? I've experienced recently in my life a land that God has for me that is guarded by giants. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we've got to be strategic. Man, I can't do this on my own. God, I have to have you. And I know God's in heaven saying, really? That's dawning on you? Okay, but I get this poker face and I'm like, they're not going to see me sweat and it's just pouring off my forehead. But you know what? Then the giants start fighting each other. It's like, oh, that's how it happens. That's how it does it. There's confusion in the enemy's camp. Oh my gosh. And it just happens in our lives. And it's awesome just to see how God's word isn't the predictor of this. It's prophetic. We get what we say. We get what the word says. So the place that God gives us is where others are growing. And see, that's pivotal. See, because you get your mind off yourself. Okay, well, is this, man, am I getting my needs met here? They make me pay for specialty coffee. I don't know. I just threw that in. I remember when we were, I don't remember, it was in 08 or wherever it was, we decided, let's just charge for coffee. It's not that big a deal. Oh, it's a big deal. I'm like, shoot, there must be a canon in one of the early churches, the ancient church, that by golly, you got to give them coffee or they're going to die. So we do. We just give them coffee. It's like, shoot, it's not worth the heat. Okay, but the point is that we don't look at this and, well, is it convenient to drive? I want it to be. We're in a great spot for that. Do people dress like me there? I hope not. I want this to be the most diverse church on the planet. I want to celebrate diversity. Man, I want our worship team to look like the UN. I mean, I want anybody coming in and going, oh my gosh, here God, there's one of me. And however we've got to do that. Thanks for being here, Jeff. So don't mess with Jeff, though. I'm telling you, Jeff goes, I go, okay? But listen, man, are people growing around here? That's it. The place that God has for you, people grow. People around you are growing. Man, that's when you know things are healthy. Because if people are growing, the church is going to grow. If the church is going to grow, the kingdom's gonna grow. If the kingdom's gonna grow, Jesus is coming back. See, it's pretty simple for me. Man, it really is. And I want people around me to be growing. I want the church to grow.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.